Father God, we thank you that you're here, right here, indwelling each one, opening our hearts, wanting access to new places within us, that you might bring change, that you might bring power, that you might bring healing, that you might bring the lifting of burdens, that you might bring joy. And so we thank you, God, that you live in us. And today, as your church, we thank you for the opportunity of praising you, of getting your perspective, of shifting our eyes up from down. And Lord God, we thank you that today you're going to do something in each of us, that we won't leave this place we came in, and our world will not be the same as on account of that, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Why don't you take your seats? Great to see you here this morning. If you're a visitor, a very warm welcome to you. I know there are a few here. If I haven't met you, I hope to over coffee, so don't race off. In this church, no one's going to leave you alone during coffee. I don't mean that in like a stalking sense. I mean it in a friendly sense where you won't be left feeling awkward. Someone's going to chat to you. It's going to be great. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 describes the Christian as someone who is planted by streams of water. They are blessed. They've chosen to reject other possibilities in terms of how to live that are in competition with Jesus Christ. And the psalm tells us that they're fruitful. They're planted by streams of water. They're blessed. They reject the wrong way and choose the right way, and they're fruitful. And Psalm 1 acts as the preface to the book of Psalms. I don't know whether you knew that, but you know the preface in the front of any book that you read, it gives you a sort of an idea of the main theme of the book that you're about to read. Well, Psalm 1 acts like that for the book of Psalms. It introduces the main themes of that book, and that's what Psalm 1 is to the whole book of Psalms. But more than that, you could copy Psalm 1, do a copy and paste, and stick it in the front of your Bible, because to a large extent, Psalm 1 acts as the preface for the whole Bible. It introduces the theme, the major theme of the Bible, and that theme is this: there are only two ways that you can go in life. There are only two ways. There aren't three, there aren't four, there aren't one and a half, there are two. There's a way of embracing God, or there's a way of rejecting him. And there are no other alternatives. And that's the theme of the book of Psalms. It's the major theme of the Bible. And for each of those two ways that you can go in life, there's an outcome, there's a destination, if you like, to your journey. And repeatedly, we're reminded of this in the Bible. It's why we're constantly reminded in the Bible to choose life instead of death. It's why Jesus said that whoever is not for me is actually against me. It's why Joshua gave the people of God a choice: choose this day whom you will serve, God or your idols. And it's why so often we see this contrast played out in two people. We see it with the first Adam and the last Adam. We see it with Cain and Abel. We see it with Jacob and Esau. We see it with Isaac and Ishmael. We see it with Christ and the Antichrist. This theme of really only two ways, two choices, two journeys that you can take. The major theme of Psalm 1, the book of Psalms, and the Bible itself. And we're going to read Psalm 1, and I'm going to stick to, well, we're going to read the whole, and then we're going to go back and read the first three verses. So it says there, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Whatever they do prospers. And just during the worship, I really felt that there's a word here today for someone with regard to their view of prosperity and what that actually is. See, prosperity means if you prosper, then you're going to make a difference. Prospering means to be able to make a difference. If you can just get that on board today, I give you permission not to listen from here on in. No, that's not the case. But if you prosper, it means that you're enabled to make a difference. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And so we have this way of the righteous contrasted with the way of the wicked. It's another one of these contrasts in the Bible of these two choices that we make, these two journeys that we can take, but we're going to give our attention to those first three verses. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. And I love it that the first word that we read in this psalm that introduces the theme of psalms, that introduces this major theme of the Bible, I love that the first word is blessed. So when you have someone that says, I'm not into religion, it's all about rules and regulations, it's all about do's and don'ts, it's about getting you down and not getting you up. Well, let me tell you something, I've read the preface to the Bible and the first word is blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Because that's what this is about. That's what the Christian life is about. That's where God starts. The character of God, his deep desire, his longing for you, his longing for this world is to bless. It's not to condemn. God takes no delight in the death of the wicked, the Bible tells us. He's a just God, so there will be a judgment at some point about what we've done with Christ's Son, with God's Son, Jesus Christ, but that's not what moves the heart of God. What moves the heart of God is to bless. It's what he wants to do. And we all know John 3:16. Do we know John 3:17 just as well? Because it says there, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This message that we have is a message of hope. It's a message of God's goodness and love and mercy and grace toward the world. It's a message of blessing. The single greatest act of love in all of history, the sending of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place and to conquer death on our behalf. That's what blessed is. Blessed is the one who embraces God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, this word blessed in the context, in the grammar of this verse is plural. See, God's not into stingy blessings, just one and no more. God has abundant blessing. He showers blessing. His mercies are new every morning. His blessings are varied. They're abundant. God showers blessings on those who embrace his way. His thoughts toward them are beyond numbering. Our God is an abundant God, and he commands abundant blessing on those who honor him. It also reminds us that God doesn't withhold blessing. He doesn't wait to bless. He blesses from the beginning. I mean, you'd expect to be blessed at the end of a church service, but right here at the beginning, God is blessing. Right at the beginning. Psalm starts with a blessing. You're blessed already when you choose to live your life with God's purposes in mind. Blessings aren't a reward for good choices. They're the outcome. The designed outcome of good choices is God's blessing. And I was thinking, you know, we might reward our children when they make their bed or tidy their room. You know, we give them an ice cream, take them on an outing, give them pocket money. But, you know, the ice cream's finished pretty quickly. The outing will be over at some point. And if you're anything like me growing up, the pocket money just went through my fingers like sand. See, that's not the blessing, that's the reward. And there's a difference. The blessing that children get out, the blessing actually is in the lessons they are learning about living with order in their lives, because that will continue on. The blessing actually is what they are learning about the importance of looking after what you have, because that will continue on. And the blessing actually is showing respect for those living with you, because that will continue on. They're the blessings. Don't give up the ice creams or the outings or the pocket money. Keep doing that. But remember, that stuff is temporary. It's what they're learning. That's where the blessing is. God has designed life in such a way that living it according to the designer's vision for it will have outcomes that bless the liver of that life. And that's why such a person is called blessed. Someone tells us that that person has rejected what others think about life and how it should be lived. It's the first thing the psalm says about such a blessed person. They have refused the ways of the world. They watch what company they keep and the activities they involve themselves in. You're blessed already by what you say no to. And I firmly believe that the church should be known more for what it's for and less for what it's against. But here the Bible tells us that there's a blessing in rejecting certain things when we accept the Christian way of living, saying no to those things that dishonor God. And what's interesting here is there are three postures for choosing the wrong way to go. The psalm describes them this way. There's walking, there's standing, and there's sitting, and they describe this sure and slippery slope downwards into this life of rejecting God. Choosing the way of rejecting God begins to walking with the wicked. And if I could describe that, it's like you're going through life and then you decide to choose some company that don't hold the same principles you do. They're going toward a different destination, but you begin to walk with them, not trying to persuade them to choose your way, but dabbling into what they're into. And perhaps you're tempted because you don't want to risk offending them lest they no longer want to hang with you. You say nothing and blend in, and pretty soon the differences between you disappear. See, that's walking. And the slippery slope continues downward, however. Now you're no longer walking with the wicked, you're standing in the way of sinners. What does that mean? Well, it means that now you're not just passing through, you're remaining. Any progress towards God's destination for you has stalled. You are happier now in the company of and involved in the activities of those who have chosen to reject God. You're beginning to think like them and act like them. You haven't influenced them. They've begun to influence you. That's like standing. That's like remaining. Their language is becoming your language. Their choices are becoming your choices. You stay there long enough and the descent downwards is completed as you sit with the mockers. You're not passing through. You're not just remaining. Now you're living in that place. Their views are your views. You can take the lead now in mocking those who have chosen to embrace God. You don't need their influence any longer. You've made up your mind that the world's way is better. It just starts with keeping the wrong company. But that's where it ends up, the Bible tells us. Blessing is not in choosing to follow the majority. It's not in choosing to blend in with those around you. It's not in choosing what your peers are pressuring you into. Blessing lies in the way that embraces God and His purposes for your life. Now, let me just add here that maybe you know someone, maybe you love someone who right now is on that slippery slope, or perhaps they're right at the bottom. Perhaps they're mocking you and what you believe. Maybe they're seated around your table at home and are doing it. Can I just hasten to add, there is no place we can be that is too far from Christ. And we need to remember that so that it fuels our prayers, because you are in their life to pray for them. You are in your life to be an example of the love of God, even though they're in that place. You are in their life to be the example of the love of God reaching out to them. And better to have your prayers filled with the promises of God for them than the problems of them. Can I say that again? Better to fill your prayers for them with the promises of God for them rather than the problems of them. Because I know from experience, it's easy to pray like Job, God, forgive my children for what they've done. But a much better prayer is, God, this is what you've said about these loved ones of mine, and I pray it back to you, believing for them. So how do we stay on purpose in and with God? And the psalm goes on to tell us, develop a delight in the Word of God. That word delight is like, it's my deepest pleasure. It's my passion. And right now you can be, is that really how I feel about the Word of God? You can be asking that question of yourself right now. Is that where I am? Because if I'm not there yet, then I've got a little way to go and I need to listen up right now. I need to take some notes. By the way, they're in the church app if you need to review some of this stuff. It's your heart's desire. How do you build a heart's desire for the Word of God? And some of you may be wondering whether that's even possible. And I know that some of you here have real trouble with reading. How do I build up a love for the if I have trouble reading? Some of you don't have a lot of time in your life. I know you start early and you finish late. How do I develop a love when there's limited time? Or how do I develop a love when I don't even understand what I'm reading? We're all at different parts of the walk with Jesus. And some of this stuff I'm reading, I haven't got a clue what it means. How do I develop a love when the going's tough, when I don't have time, when I find it difficult to even read? Well, it may help us to know that the writer of this psalm had a sum total of 5 books when he was referring to the Word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Thank you. Yes. See, even I've got trouble with it. The first 5 books, that's all they had. But they delight in your word, they write. Now, are you familiar with the Bible at all? You can have a real delight in Genesis and Exodus, but can I tell you? After Exodus is finished, it's really hard to have a delight in the next 3 because it's all about sacrificial rites. It's all about priestly regulations. It's all about numbers and names and tribes. It's really difficult. But the psalmist says, let me tell you what, I can even have a delight in these 5. My heart's desire can be for these 5. We've got 66. We've got no excuse. 66 books to delight in. The key to making the Word of God a delight rather than a duty, making it a pleasure rather than a problem, making it lift your spirits rather than load you down. The key, listen to this, the key is in the psalm. And he says, who meditates on your law day and night. And that's an interesting word, meditate. And last week, Pastor Deb reminded us that part of the meaning, part of what's wrapped up in that meaning is this protective growling. And she had a picture of a lion, like protecting its food. Meditation has this picture of protective growling over whatever it is that your heart's desire is for. But its meaning also includes to chew over and to murmur. To meditate is to chew over and to murmur. And day and night. Now, I'm not talking about double quiet times. Let me take that weight off you right now. This is about thinking about what you have read throughout the day. Remember, we just asked ourselves a question, do I really delight in God's word? Do I really have a passion for it? And if you've got a little way to go, then I'm telling you how to get there. What you read in the morning, repeat to yourself. Maybe it's just one verse. Maybe it's just one phrase. Maybe it's just one word. Repeat it to yourself audibly just so you can hear. Because you need to speak it out so that your ears get it. So goes back. It's like, I hesitate to use the expression chewing the cud because it's a bit distasteful for some people, like a cow, you know, brings stuff back up and chews over it again. Did something just happen? Okay, we're good. But that's what it means, to think about it and to repeat it to yourself. And when you do that, what happens is it begins to unlock more revelation about what that scripture is talking about. And when it does, you get excited. When it does, you're building up a delight for the word of God. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? He disposed of the prophets of Baal, and then he goes with his servant and begins to pray because Israel's been in drought for many years, and Elijah begins to pray for rain. And remember, he sends his servant out. Was it like 7 times? He sends his servant to go and see whether he sees anything with regard to this rain that's been prayed for. And it was on the 7th occasion that the servant says, I see a cloud rising from the sea as small as a man's hand. And it's within moments that the sky is filled with clouds and rain begins to pour down on the drought. Going back to the word is like the servant looking for the rain. Going back to it throughout the day. Not the 2 chapters that you've just read, obviously, but just something that stood out to you so that you're not just reading it, getting the job done and forgetting about it. There's more in it for you if you're willing to spend that time during the day to think, to murmur, to speak it to yourself, to get the revelation that builds the delight for God's word. And notice that the blessed one is planted. This is not a wild tree growing wherever the wind blew the seed in some random ground. God has planted exactly where it needs to be this particular person who has embraced his way of doing things. The blessed one is intentionally chosen and planted by God. God noticed, God purchased, God decided on where this one should be and how they should flourish in the place of his choosing. And we need to remember that if God placed us somewhere among certain people doing certain things, that it's carefully planned by him. And sometimes you really do need to think about it, because sometimes your situation is difficult. And sometimes you just got to think about it that way. But God has put me here. And we might scratch our heads at times wondering, what on earth? Becoming frustrated with those we're doing life with, and even despise perhaps where we are. But we need to remember that God has you where you are to bless you and through you to bless others. I always look now for a reason to put Top Gun quotes in my messages. And this is from Top Gun 1, but I thought of this immediately as I was thinking about this prospect of not exactly liking where you are. And Maverick, it's not your flying, it's your attitude. The enemy's dangerous, but right now you're worse. Dangerous and foolish. You may not like who's flying with you, but whose side are you on anyway? You can find that in Psalm 3, verse 4. No. If you haven't seen Top Gun, I've got to tell you. We've seen it twice, Josh.
Four times?
Would you stand up and thank this family once again for being here this morning? Hey, it's in, I don't know if you've been to Chermside, we haven't been there yet, but it's like extra sensory. Like the chairs move, the wind blows. Yeah, 5 times this week. All right, come on, we're talking about Psalm 1. Stay planted where you are, I've got it written right here. Among those that God has placed you among and doing what he's given you to do, it's the place of blessing whether you understand it or not. The blessed one is blessed because of their fruitfulness. Hey, we need to get that. The blessed one is blessed because of their fruitfulness. The truth is that we are never more alive than when we are living our lives with a posture towards others. Can I tell you? Think about those times when you've done something for someone when it's been selfless. It's not been about you or how you could be repaid or even what the feeling it gave you. Think about those times, because that's the time of blessing. And if you look back on it, you'll remember how good you felt. How good you felt at that time. The fruit tree doesn't produce fruit for its own benefit. In the same way, what God has planned in you for you to produce is meant for others. But the blessing that comes with that is amazing. This works in the world. It does, you know. It works in the world. How much more does it work in the church? And the Seeds Dinner was mentioned. Jono mentioned it. This past week, we had the major fundraising event for the Mercy arm of our church. It's the annual Seeds fundraising dinner. You know, we had that thing sold out. It's the first time it's ever happened, sold out before the event. It's just all the communities and businesses that they're invited to that. Very few church people, actually. Mostly business people from our community. Sold out before the event. And they know they're going to have to give money when they come. They pay for something so that they can give money. What? And look, it's great food. And it's great company. They're amongst friends. But the atmosphere is up. And it's up every time we have one of these things. There's just something in the atmosphere when you walk into the room. I mean, as organizers, we love it. Can you imagine how the people coming, attending, love it? Because it's all about giving. They love to give. It works out there. It works for us too, even more so, because we acknowledge and honor the God that gives to us. $52,000. Never raised that sort of money before. $9,000 better than last year. It's absolutely amazing. The work of transformations, drug rehabilitation, that's going to be forwarded on because of this. The work that we do on a daily basis through Westside Community Care, the crisis help that we give, like through the floods, that's all going to be helped because of this. And people love it. Can I have the musicians back? The psalm says, you're planted by streams of water, intentionally placed where you are by God himself. You are drawing up from the word of God every day, and it's causing you to be fruitful. You're repeating it to yourself. You're murmuring it to yourself. You're finding greater revelation and greater delight in the Word of God as a result. And it's causing you to bear fruit that brings great blessing. Blessed is the one. Blessed are you. Amen.